still give testimony to this day. I here insert the promised flower dream of a lady patient in which I have italicized everything which is to be sexually interpreted. This beautiful dream seemed to lose its entire charm for the dreamer after it had been interpreted. A. Preliminary dream. She goes to the two maids in the kitchen and scolds them for taking so long to prepare a little bite of food. She also sees a great many coarse dishes standing in the kitchen inverted so that the water may drip off them and heaped up in a pile. Later addition, the two maids go to fetch water and must, as it were, step into a river which reaches up into the house or into the yard. B. Main dream. Her career. She is descending from a high place. High birth, the wish contrast to the preliminary dream. Over balustrades that are curiously fashioned, or fences which are united into big squares and consist of a conglomeration of little squares. A composite image which unites two localities, the so-called garret, German Boden, floor, garret, of her father's house, in which she played with her brother, the object of her later fancies, and the garden of a malicious uncle who used to tease her. It is really not intended for climbing upon. She is worried about finding a place for her foot, and she is glad her dress doesn't get caught anywhere, and that she remains so respectable while she is going. Wish contrast to an actual memory of her uncle's garden, to the effect that she used to expose herself while she was asleep. She is also carrying a large bough in her hand, just as the angel bears a lily stem in the Annunciation. Really a bough of a tree, which is thickly studded with red blossoms. It has many branches and spreads out. With this is connected the idea of cherry blossoms, but they look like full-bloom camellias, which of course do not grow on trees. While she is descending, she first has one, then suddenly two, and later again only one, referring to the plurality of the persons who serve the purpose of her fancy. When she arrives at the bottom of the lower blossoms, they have already fallen off to a considerable extent. Now that she is at the bottom, she sees a porter who is combing, as she would like to express it, just such a tree, that is, who is plucking thick bunches of hair from it, which hang from it like moss. Other workmen have chopped off such boughs in a garden, and have thrown them upon the street, where they lie about, so that many people take some of them. But she asks whether that is right, whether anybody may take one, whether it is permitted to pull one off, i.e. to masturbate. In the garden there stands a young man, having a personality with which she is acquainted, not a member of her family, up to whom she goes in order to ask him how it is possible to transplant such boughs into her own garden. The bough has long since been used to represent the male genital, and besides that it contains a very distinct allusion to the family name of the dreamer. He embraces her, whereat she resists and asks him what he means, whether it is permissible to embrace her in such a manner. He says that there is no wrong in it, that it is permitted, refers to matrimonial precautions, as does that which follows. He then declares himself willing to go with her into the other garden in order to show her the transplanting, and he says something to her which she does not correctly understand. Besides this 3 meters, later on she says square meters, or 3 fathoms of ground are lacking. It seems as though the man were trying to ask her something in return for his affability, as though he had the intention of indemnifying himself in her garden, as though he wanted to evade some law or other, to derive some advantage from it without causing her an injury. She does not know whether or not he really shows her anything. I must mention still another series of associations which often serves the purpose of concealing sexual meaning both in dreams and in the neurosis. I refer to the change of residence series. To change one's residence is readily replaced by to remove, an ambiguous expression which may have reference to clothing. If the dream also contains a lift, elevator, one may think of the verb to lift, hence of lifting up the clothing. I have naturally an abundance of such material, but a report of it would carry us too far into the discussion of neurotic conditions. Everything leads to the same conclusion, that no special symbolizing activity of the mind in the formation of dreams need be assumed, that, on the contrary, the dream makes use of such symbolizations as are to be found ready-made in unconscious thought, because these better satisfy the requirements of dream formation on account of their dramatic fitness, and particularly on account of their exemption from the censor. E. Examples. Arithmetic speeches in the dream. Before I proceed to assign to its proper place the fourth of the factors which control the formation of the dream, I shall cite several examples from my collection of dreams for the purpose partly of illustrating the cooperation of the three factors with which we are acquainted, and partly of supplying proof for assertions which have been made without demonstration, or of drawing irrefutable inferences from them. For it has been very difficult for me in the foregoing account of the dream activity to demonstrate my conclusions by means of examples. Examples for the individual thesis are convincing only when considered in connection with a dream interpretation. When they are torn from their context, they lose their significance, and furthermore, a dream interpretation, though not at all profound, soon becomes so extensive that it obscures the thread of the discussion which it is intended to illustrate. This technical motive may excuse me for now mixing together all sorts of things which have nothing in common but their relation to the text of the foregoing chapter. We shall first consider a few examples of very peculiar or unusual methods of representation in the dream. The dream of a lady is as follows. A servant girl is standing on a ladder as though to clean the windows, and has with her a chimpanzee and a gorilla cat, later corrected, Angora cat. She throws the animals at the dreamer. The chimpanzee cuddles up to her, and this is disgusting to her. This dream has accomplished its purpose by the simplest possible means, namely by taking a mere mode of speech literally and representing it according to the meaning of its words. Ape, like the names of animals in general, is an epithet of opprobrium, and the situation of the dream means nothing but to hurl invectives. This same collection will soon furnish us with further examples of the use of this simple artifice. Another dream proceeds in a very similar manner. A woman with a child that has a conspicuously deformed cranium. The dreamer has heard that the child got into this condition owing to its position in its mother's womb. The doctor says that the cranium might be given a better shape by means of compression, but that would harm the brain. She thinks that because it is a boy, it won't suffer so much from deformity. This dream contains a plastic representation of the concept childish impressions, which the dreamer has heard of in the course of explanations concerning the treatment. In the following example, the dream activity enters upon a different path. The dream contains a recollection of an excursion to the Hirnteich near Graz. There is a terrible storm outside. A miserable hotel, the water is dripping from the walls and the beds are damp. The latter part of the content is less directly expressed than I give it. The dream signifies superfluous. The abstract idea occurring in the dream thoughts is first made equivocal by a certain straining of language. It has perhaps been replaced by overflowing, or by fluid and superfluid, fluous.